Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame poisoning when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious by now that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and now they're banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And now they're teaching these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools and in our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. And this is a pretty radical change in our political and our moral outlook over the past 50 years. Now, are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all of the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty. You don't have to know what the penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, or Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic, and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which is the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package. That's the first place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page, and you can download that free General Law CD package right off the Internet, live and direct. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about aspartame poisoning. Last time we're talking about the antidote. What do you do to detoxify your body from the aspartame that you've already been consuming? This time, let's take a look here at some other alternatives here to other diseases. There are other symptoms that people come down with in addition to this aspartame poisoning. And there are other solutions to these problems. And what we're dealing with here is the allopathic medical philosophy versus the homeopathic medical philosophy. Listen to this. Back in 1900, just go back 100 years, 1900 to 1910, the medical practice in America was dominated by the homeopathic philosophy of medicine. Starting about 1900 to 1910, the controversy grew until it finally came to a head and the allopathic medical philosophy won out. They won the day. The medical doctors won the contest. Now, the results of that have been pretty dramatic. After we overthrew the homeopathic modality of treating disease and introduced the allopathic, the German allopathic modality, we've had some pretty dramatic changes in the health picture of America. For instance, back in 1917, when Americans were going into World War I, they came up for a medical examination. Young men in America came up for the draft, and so they went in and they were examined, and they discovered that 40% of Americans had symptoms. That is, 40% of the draftees that came in for their medicals were rejected because they were unfit for military service. That was a shocking revelation. 60% of Americans were healthy and had no symptoms. 40% of Americans were unhealthy and they had symptoms. They couldn't hear well. Their eyes didn't work. They had arthritis or rheumatism or something was wrong with them, and they were rejected for military service. That was in 1917. Now, if we take a look at 2009, 99% of Americans today have symptoms. Just ask yourself, are you 100% disease-free, or do you have allergies? Do you have some kind of a chronic disease, you know, like lupus or Graves' disease, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, all these degenerative diseases? Are you suffering from those? Do you wear glasses? Why? Why do you wear glasses? What's wrong with your eyes? Well, you know, I'm 33 and I have to wear glasses. Why? What happened to your eyes? It's a health deficiency. You know, you were created, and your creator built a pretty good product. What did you do to screw up your eyes, your hearing, or your body in such a way now that you've got allergies and you're sneezing and you're wheezing? Huh? Something came about. Now, in 1900, less than 1% of Americans were obese. I can tell you from my own personal observation, when I was a kid in high school, we used to have physical education. I think there were two fat kids in my ninth grade physical ed class. I think there were two fat boys in there. I can remember the second grade, we had Franklin Johnson was the only fat kid in the second grade. That's how uncommon obesity or overweight among children were when I was a kid. That's in the 1940s. By 1953, I think I was in the ninth grade or 54, there were two. It had doubled. There were two fat kids in 1954. Today, 27% of Americans are obese. 27%. That's more than one out of four. Now, something pretty dramatic has occurred to our weight problem here in this country over the last 100 years, hasn't it? Something pretty dramatic has occurred in America in our symptoms. From 40% have symptoms in 1917, which isn't anything good to brag about, but today it's 99% have symptoms. Only 1% of Americans are symptom-free today. Now, in 1900, one person in 33 would get cancer in his lifetime. Today, it's 50%. It's one out of two is going to get cancer in his lifetime. So over the past 100 years, the allopathic medical doctors have taken control of America's health. 27% of us are fat. One out of two of us are going to get cancer. And 99% of us have some kind of a sickness or disease. Now, allopathic medicine has not prevented these diseases, and they haven't got any cures for them either. Now, on the other side of the coin, the homeopathic, that is, the naturopaths and the holistic medical alternative, doctors, called quacks, tell you very plainly, we can cure cancer, we know what causes disease, and we know how to prevent and cure obesity. And they're called quacks, and they're jailed. They are made fun of. They're ridiculed. They're hounded and persecuted constantly. By who? By the allopathic medical doctors, the American Medical Association. Why? It's an argument over turf. The same thing happens in the big cities when somebody kills somebody over turf. It's over, I'm selling drugs on this street corner and you can't have this street corner. That's all they're arguing about. So the underground, that is the illegal drug culture, they're fighting over turf. And the legal drug dealers, that's Rexall and Walgreens, the American Medical Association, the chiropractors, and the alternative health care people, are all fighting over turf. That's all they're doing. Nothing's new. Nothing's changed. Now, the purpose for this series of programs is to alert you to a medical problem. It's called aspartame. I've alerted you to that problem. Now, let's take a look at the last segment over here. What can cure you after you have gotten this disease? What do you do when you've taken aspartame or you've been toxically poisoned here over a long period of time and now you've got lupus or maybe you've been vaccinated and your kid's got autism or something? What do you do to solve that problem? Well, fortunately, there is a solution to that. And allopathic medicine doesn't have the solution. In fact, they tell you right up front, we don't know what caused it, we don't know how to cure it, but we have a treatment. And if you try to go to anybody else, we'll put you in jail, take your kids away from you, and put them in jail too, because this is our monopoly. Well, hell, this has been going on for 5,000 years. I mean, people have been sticking cow manure in their hair thinking it's going to cure their dandruff for the last 5,000 years. So now, just because you've got some new concoction coming up. Now it sounds kind of crazy when you look back in history and you see that the Egyptians were sticking cow manure in their hair, or that they were drinking urine, or they were drinking blood, or that they were doing some other crazy thing. Hell, today we're doing the same thing. You ladies out there are drinking horse urine. Well, you don't drink it. You take it in capsule form or you take it in some other form. But, I mean, you know, you take urine out of horses and then you ingest that into your body, and you ladies out there think that that's some kind of a magic cure over here. That's allopathic medicine for you. The Bible and God never told you to drink horse urine. You don't find that in the Bible. You can find that, though, in ancient texts. You can find that in allopathic medicine today. Listen, taking snake venom and monkey pus and sticking that with a needle into your arm is not good for your health. Now, that's the kind of thing that the ancient Egyptians, Sumerians, Babylonians, and the ancient ignorance did, and that's what the modern ignorance are doing today. And if you want to do that, hell, you know, you got a doctor down on the street corner, and he'll sell you horse urine, snake venom, and monkey pus, shoot it into your veins, and tell you that you're immune from disease. It's almost like listening to these guys, you know, that do some magic in the Congo, and it makes them bulletproof. You know what I'm telling you? All right, now listen to this. The other side of the coin says, let's treat the disease in your whole body. Let's not just cut your appendix out. Let's analyze this problem of appendicitis and find out what caused this appendicitis, and let's eliminate that cause. Let's leave your appendix right where it's at. Let's cure that appendicitis right there in your body. Let's not use radical intrusion and cut you open and cut out that appendix. Let's heal that appendix and let you keep it. Let's not shoot you up with insulin every day. Let's treat your pancreas. Let's cure it so that it produces insulin again so that you can get over your diabetes. And there's two schools of thought here. Now, I subscribe to this second school of thought. It's called the homeopathy medical philosophy as opposed to the allopathic medical philosophy. Now, this comes from the Bible, by the way. There are a number of biblical cures for diseases. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there's 32 oils mentioned in the Bible. 32 herbs are mentioned in the Bible, and they're medicinal. And the word medicine appears in the Scripture. And there's a lot to be said about medicine, and God himself says, I am your healer, and there's a modality used in Scripture for healing people. I know you don't subscribe to it, and when you get cancer, you're going to go down to the medical doctor and let him cut, burn, and poison it out, which has some benefit. It does work 37% of the time. The problem is 63% of the time it doesn't work and you die. You know, so if you want to flip a coin, you got less chance flipping a coin with a medical doctor than you do with a homeopath. So I would like to discuss this majority. You know, 99% of us have symptoms. Wouldn't it be kind of neat if we could get rid of those symptoms and be healed? That's the thrust of homeopathy. Let's eliminate the disease. And that's possible. Let's take a look here at an herb called cat's claw. It's called Uncaria tomentosa. It's being called by many the miracle herb from the rainforest of Peru. The highly effective properties contained in the inner bark of the cat's claw plant have demonstrated through centuries of usage dating back to the time of the ancient Incas to have a profound and positive influence on the body's defense system. Studies conducted since the 1970s at research clinics in Peru, Austria, Germany, England, Hungary, and Italy validate the traditional usage and indicates that this herb may be beneficial in ameliorating a host of modern-day afflictions, which have no answers from the orthodox medical arena. It's known to help nutritionally support the body's defense, circulatory, and gastrointestinal systems through its antioxidant and build properties. Cat's claw is known to support a wide range of health problems associated with immune and digestive problems such as gastric ulcers, arthritis, intestinal disorders, certain skin disorders, herpes, candidiasis, chronic fatigue, lupus, and tumors. Now, that's pretty impressive, I would say. Now, of course, the allopathic medical doctor says, oh, that's baloney. Don't you believe it? And that's because he sells another remedy. I mean, hell, he's selling Claritin, or he's selling, you know, some drug over here. And in the process, he makes his money off of that drug. Well, listen, the other guy over here, he's selling cat's claw. So what this controversy is all about, it's over turf. It's one guy is selling cat's claw and another guy is selling Claritin, or he's selling, some other drug over here. I haven't got any list of them in front of me here, but that's the, I've got a list. Let me give you an illustration here. Remember we were talking about this the other day. Celebrex has a 21,000% profit margin, and the allopathic medical doctor wants to sell you Celebrex. He does not want you buying cat's claw. The allopathic medical doctor sells Lipitor. He doesn't want you buying Mandrake. And he makes 134,000%, or 4,696%, or 2,898% profit selling Prilosec, Prozac. You know, come on. Let's wake up and smell some coffee here. The reality of it is that we've got a turf war over drugs. One guy is selling a list of drugs that are produced by medical and pharmacological companies, supported by the government and the police power of the state. And another guy is over here selling herbs. He's selling you plants and derivatives that come from these plants that we see and read about in the Bible. And it tells us here that the people in Peru, Austria, Germany, England, Hungary, and Italy have been testing this, and it seems to work there. We don't test it. We don't try it in the United States because it's illegal here. It's not that cat's claw is illegal. It's the use of it that's illegal. So if I said to you here, you've got herpes and cat's claw will heal it, oh, my God, do you know what would happen to me? Why, I would be locked up. You can't say that in America. God help you if you do. And all of you allopathic medical doctors know as well as I do that if you prescribed cat's claw for herpes, you'd have your license lifted. And you're not going to do that because you want to keep your license, don't you? I mean, after all, that's your medical ticket. That's your meal ticket. But just between you and me, I wanted to point out to you that there's some other guys out there that say, hey, listen, it is true that there are some bad, nasty, wicked diseases out there. And I mentioned to you in the last program, I said scurvy is a bad, nasty, wicked, awful disease, and the cure for it is very simple. It's just vitamin C. See? I can tell you that because, see, the medical doctors approve that. Now, if I were to suggest to you that anything contrary to orthodox medical practice, that's a crime in the United States. You can't do that. They have a medical monopoly supported by the police power of the state, and by God, anybody that interferes with that monopoly is going to jail. Now, wake up. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I don't have an alternative. It just means that we can't talk about it publicly. So oftentimes people will write and they'll say to me, well, why don't you tell us the answer? You know, they'll call and say, well, why don't you put your prices on the Internet? Why don't you do this on the Internet? Why don't you tell us? I can't. It's against the law. So here's the way we work this out. It's very simple. The First Amendment to our federal constitution gives you and I the right to free speech. If I come over the air and I tell you about something that violates a monopoly, a practice, well, then I can get prosecuted. I can tell you the same story if you call me. So if you get on the telephone and you call me and you say, gee, I heard your radio program the other day, Mr. Gordon. Now, I'd like to ask you this or that. Can you tell me this or that? Can you steer me on to this or that? That's called free speech. You and I can do that all day long. Let me give you an illustration. I come on the air and I tell you, listen, don't go out and hire a lawyer. Come over here and go to law school. I can tell you to do that. See, I can teach law all day long. That's free speech. Now, if I came on the air and I said, listen, here's the solution to your legal problem over there, that's practicing law without a license. So I can't give you legal advice, but I can give you legal instruction. See how simple that is? Now, in order for me to give you legal instruction, if I tell you that the price is X number of dollars, that's commerce. It comes under the Commerce Clause at Article 1, Section 8. That's regulated and controlled. If you call me on the telephone and I tell you the same answer, that's free speech protected by the First Amendment. So, you know, it isn't that we can't function. It's that there are a lot of roadblocks out there. And out here in the medical world, there's just a ton of roadblocks that prevent you from finding out what the cures to these diseases are. There's cures out there. Richard Schultz, and I'm going to put on some programs, and I'm going to expose you to a guy named Richard Schultz, who was a student of Dr. Christopher. And I'm going to show you what some of these cures are under the free speech doctrine. I can't violate, you know, the medical monopoly. But we can expose what's going on around us. I can't tell you over the air the direct solution, but then you could call me on the telephone, or you could call Dr. Schultz, or you could go to a health food store, or you could pick up a book someplace, and you can educate yourself. Now, see, you can medicate yourself. But if I recommend a medication for you, See, then that's diagnosing and prescribing. That's a part of the medical monopoly. They won that game with John D. Rockefeller. Remember, we were talking about the pharmaceutical trust, the medical trust. Hey, listen, there was a contest out there, and they won it. I don't know if it was fair and square, but that's the way the game is played. They control the FDA. They control the medical monopoly, the American Medical Association, the American Cancer Society. Hey, game's over. We don't need to sit here and hash that issue out anymore. Game's over. They win. It's their monopoly. But the good news is you and I do not have to play their game in their monopoly. We can opt out anytime we want. But I can't come out here. It'd be like me going to a mental hospital and starting to talk to the patients in the mental hospital about getting out of the mental hospital and curing themselves of their mental diseases. I can't do that. Number one, they're all incompetent. And number two, I'm not a licensed, bonded professional psychiatrist. Now, everybody that's in the mental hospital is suffering from an organic disease. He's got a mental problem because he has a starvation problem. He's lacking some very vital trace minerals. Then his brain isn't functioning very well. And so now he's acting in a bizarre fashion. And so we lock him up in a mental hospital and start treating him with Prozac. He's suffering from a nutritional deficiency, but his nutritional deficiency isn't Prozac. It's selenium. Now, if I went in there and said, look, let's start treating these mental patients with selenium, they'd lock me up. You can't do that. Prozac is the official protocol. That's what we feed them. We lock them up, we put them in straight jackets, and we feed them these inorganic compounds, and it doesn't cure them, and then nobody claims that they're trying to. They say, we're going to treat them. How long are you going to treat them? Forever. You're going to treat them right there in the mental hospital forever at taxpayer expense. Now, there's hope for multiple sclerosis. Take a look at this one. This is Dudley Delaney. It says, I'm a 60-year-old retired chiropractor, massage therapist, and a registered nurse. I developed multiple sclerosis during the summer of 1991, and some of my symptoms included numbness, blurred vision, difficulty swallowing, tremors, muscle spasms, depression, fatigue, failing memory, slurred speech, and bladder dysfunction. In the fall of 1991, I began using a painless, inexpensive treatment suggested by the late Edgar Cayce Moore, the nervous system healing with medicinal plants and diet. Nowhere is the efficacy of diet and herbalism more evident than in problems related to the nervous system. Stress, anxiety, tension, and depression are intimately connected with most illness. Epidemic of multiple sclerosis and systemic lupus also related to canola oil. Now, lupus, alternative therapies that work. Moore suffered from lupus for 14 years after taking control over health care, though the drawing on alternative therapies, usually called complementary therapy, she has discovered books by lupus patients aren't unusual. But hers is the first to go into complementary medicine in detail. Nutrition and dietary supplements played major roles. Moore says, and naturopathy, traditional Chinese medicine, and mind-body medicine were in the mix also. Now, here's another lupus novice toward self-healing recommended by Andrew Weil in Natural Health, Natural Medicine, Lupus. Novice gives a moving account of the author's successful struggle with the incurable SLE9 systemic lupus, affecting mostly women. Ms. Chester shares the personal discoveries behind her recovery and a meditation on what it means for a body to be attacking itself. So lupus is an autoimmune disorder. Can it be treated?
Yeah.
Doctors treat it. They're going to give you pills. Can it be cured?
Yeah.
How do you do that? You have to do it by detoxification of your body. Get rid of the poisons and start feeding your body the nutrients that it needs to heal itself by rebuilding your immune system. Now, we talked about this the other day. Let's hit it once more. Listen, very simple. And if you want to test it, deprive your body of vitamin C and you will develop scurvy. Feed your body vitamin C and the scurvy will go away. It's just that simple. Has anybody ever thought to try that with lupus? Muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, cancer? Huh? Has anybody ever put two and two together and said, I wonder if what I eat or what I fail to eat causes my symptoms? Could it be that by eating aspartame, it causes 92 symptoms that I'd just as soon not have? And that by eating vitamin C, it takes away the symptom of scurvy? Has anybody ever thought of that? Yeah, you bet. For the last 5,000 years, people have been using diet and nutrition and detoxifying herbs to maintain their health. Now along comes the allopath and says, well, there's no money in that. Well, that's true. There's no money in curing scurvy with vitamin C, but there's a lot of money in curing or treating scurvy with medicines, patent medicines. There's a lot of money in treating cancer. There's no money in curing it. Now, the Ojibwe Indians, if I pronounce that correctly now, up in Canada, came up with an herbal formula that they had been using for hundreds of years. And a Canadian nurse back in World War I, her name was Renee Cassie, she got that formula and went out and said, look, this formula cures cancer. And it did then, and it does now. It's called Essiac. Cures cancer, hands down. And the Parliament of Canada voted it down, said, no way, Jose, in Canada are we going to put Essiac out in the marketplace. That's number one. Now, number two, and then she tried to do it here in the United States, and the American Medical Association said, no way are we going to do that in the United States. Now, you can get Essiac. You can buy it over the counter in Canada, but you can't get the bloodroot that's in it because bloodroot's the active ingredient. Now, you can educate yourself. If you're sitting out there today listening to me and you've got cancer, You can go down to your local health food store and say, listen, there's a book called Essiac. Renee Cassie is the lady's name, and I want to read that book. You can take the book home, read it, and you can get the herbal formula out of the book. You can put it together. You can buy it in the underground. I mean, it's out there available. But you got to know Bob, who knows Tom, who can send you over to Ted, who can get you the Essiac formula. Don't buy the crap across the counter because it doesn't have the bloodroot in it. It's got all the detoxifying herbs, but not the bloodroot that kills the tumor. So anyway, the moral of the story is you can do this yourself, and there are all kinds, just buku chiropractors, naturopaths, and herbalists out there that can cure cancer in a heartbeat. But they can't advertise that. And they can't come forward and talk to you about that because they'd be violating the medical monopoly's monopoly, and the police power of the state comes down on them and puts them in prison. But they're out there, and they're in the underground. And that's where you're going to have to find your cure, in the underground, because the allopathic medical doctors won the war. They won the game. Now, they can't cure cancer, and they tell you so very plainly. They say, we don't know what causes it, and we don't know how to cure it, but for $100,000, boy, can we treat it. And that's the name of the game, and that's the way the game is played. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, that doesn't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing and recommending are going to reciprocate and recommend the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and conversely, our viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by these publications and these authors either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about aspartame poisoning, so we this week took a look at aspartame as a cause of 92 symptoms. Now, sometimes people get the wrong impression. They think that I'm opposed to allopathic medicine. Nothing could be further from the truth. We're not sitting here knocking you doctors out there, you psychiatrists, and saying you can't practice your allopathic medicine or your psychiatric voodoo or your brand of medicine. What we're opposed to and what we're seeking to expose is your monopoly and your hostility toward any and everybody else, the competition. Because if there was freedom in the marketplace here in America, allopathic medicine would go back to where it was in 1900, taking a back seat to all of the other competing modalities, because the other competing modalities actually work. And allopathic medicine, while it works in some cases, doesn't work in most cases. For instance, let's take cancer. If we were to take cancer and we put it out into the marketplace and we just let the marketplace decide, allopathic medicine would fail on its face, because now all of the alternative healthcare guys could come out and advertise and tell you people about SEAC and about all the other cures for cancer. Then a number of people would try those, and then they would work. And then the people that tried them and it worked would tell other people, and then word of mouth would spread, and pretty soon cut, burn, and poison wouldn't work. Nobody would buy it. Today, the reason you buy cut, burn, and poison is because it's the only thing you know. You don't know of any other solution. So when you get a lump in your breast, ladies, you're going to run right down to the allopathic medical doctor, who's going to tell you that I've got the only solution to your problem. That's not true, but it's the only thing you know, so that's what you're going to do. 37% of the time, it's going to work for 5 years. 63% of the time, it's going to fail and you're going to die. We think that the 63% of you out there that are going to die should have an alternative to that. and that there should be free speech, and that the other guy should have an opportunity to come out and hawk their wares. I'm not in favor of shutting up the allopathic medical doctor. I think he should have free speech. I think he should have an opportunity to present his wares in the marketplace of ideas. And then those of us that want to buy it should have the freedom to buy it. I don't think that I should get in the way of anybody out there that wants to eat or consume aspartame. I'm not in favor of taking aspartame out of the marketplace. And all of you people out there that want to consume aspartame in place of white sugar should have a right to make that choice. I'm not opposed to that. What I'm opposed to is that the rest of us out here are muzzled and we can't tell you about these monopolies, or at least a lot that goes on about these monopolies, and we're muzzled by the food industry and by the media, by the government. That's what I'm opposed to, and that's what I want to expose. And that's because I think that you have a right, at least we used to, under the First Amendment's Free Exercise Clause, to freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of action, freedom of choice. And that those choices ought to be made to you. And that you ought to come forward and say, hey, look, this aspartame over here is bad stuff. And it ought to be exposed. Now, you can't expect CBS to expose aspartame. And that's because Monsanto and the American Medical Association, those are big advertisers with CBS and the pharmaceutical industry. Now, those are big advertisers. They spend a lot of money advertising their products on CBS. So I can understand CBS's reluctance to expose aspartame. But I don't see any reason why the Food and Drug Administration and the Congress of the United States and the President of the United States can't step forward and say, well, look, let's open up other medias over here. Let's open up the Food and Drug Administration and let's let them test the stuff. And then let's publish the findings. At least publish it in the Congressional Record. Publish it, you know, in the reporters, and then it'll be out there for everybody to see, everybody to hear. If CBS wants to pick up on it, they can, or they can leave it alone. Freedom of choice in the marketplace, after all, and the freedom of speech, after all, is the essence of liberty. If I had the power to shut the mouths of all of my opponents, we would all be enmeshed in tyranny. And the beauty of our system, our constitutional system, is that everybody, in theory at least, has a right to speak and to make his views known. That's why this medical monopoly over here is bad for all of us. Because it closes out the free speech of those that do have the cure for cancer, that do have the cure for lupus. It locks out, it creates a monopoly, and it creates tyranny. We have a medical tyranny. We have a medical system that's broken, doesn't work because of an allopathic medical monopoly. And if you break up that monopoly, you will solve your medical problem. You don't need national health care insurance. You don't need national socialized medicine in England or France or the United States or anyplace else. And in all of your countries, in Canada and Australia and New Zealand, where you have national socialized medicine and all the evils that go along with it, if you had an open marketplace, if you had liberty and freedom of speech, then you'd have competition. And everywhere you have competition, you have liberty. And where you have liberty, you have lower prices. More competition produces a cure, a solution to the problem. Now, there's more than just this solution. Listen to this. There's a thing called stevia out here. It's a naturally sweet and healthy change and a change for your life. Stevia. Write this word down, stevia. STEVIA, is naturally sweet. It's a native to Paraguay. Stevia is an herb which has a delicious and refreshing taste that can be 30 times sweeter than sugar. Stevia is extremely nutritious, containing such vitamins as magnesium, niacin, potassium, vitamin C, and more. And it's used throughout the world as a no-calorie sweetener, and in the United States as a dietary supplement. Stevia is a safe, all-natural alternative to artificial sweeteners and refined sugar in your diet. It's been used for centuries and consumed safely in massive quantities worldwide for more than 20 years. The Japanese use it in sugar-free versions of Wrigley's gums and Diet Coke. Recently, there have been studies linking stevia extract with normalization of blood sugar and insulin in diabetics. In China, stevia is used in herbal medicines and toothpaste. In China, Korea, and Japan, stevia extract is used as a tabletop sweetener because it has zero calories, zero carbohydrates, zero fats, and is many times sweeter than sugar. Stevia has no fat, no carbohydrates, making it perfect for diabetics and low-carb diets, and people with candida. It's undergone dozens of tests worldwide, and it's been found to be free of toxins. Now, where do you buy stevia? Well, stevia, natural sweetness without the calories, the stevia dietary supplement extract is a clear 1 ounce liquid concentrate. Its small squeeze dispenser makes it convenient to carry in your pocket or purse. And research shows that stevia contains unique compounds, and these compounds have been reported to be 300 times sweeter than sugar and are believed to support healthy blood pressure. Our stevia formula also contains grapefruit seed extract, well known for its antimicrobial properties. Historical accounts tell us that as early as the 1840s, natives of South America used the leaves of the stevia plant for medicinal purposes, and currently it's being researched for its many beneficial purposes. Where do you buy it? Got to go to your local health food store and ask for it. It's not being advertised. It's being attacked by the commercial food industry, the American Medical Association. I mean, here's a product that Monsanto could pick up on, but here's their problem. They can't patent it. See where your problem is? Anybody can grow the stevia herb. It grows in Peru. So you could grow it in your backyard. And if this stuff gets out in the marketplace over there, it's going to screw up the aspartame market. Aspartame is a patented product. It's a chemical compound that you can't make. You don't have the ingredients for. Probably can't get the ingredients to make. So you have to buy it from the guys that do have the monopoly. This is why herbs are being attacked by the conventional medical authorities and by government. It's because it's cheap and it's effective. And if it's cheap and effective, there's no money in it. Cancer is so valuable because it's expensive. Cancer treatment is expensive. And there's nobody else that can get out there and compete with cancer because cancer is a copyrighted trademark. Belongs to the American Medical Association, just like Coca-Cola belongs to Coke. And you can't use it. All we're dealing with here is just a fight over turf. All right, so go to your local health food store. The name of the product is called Stevia. Yeah, you can get it. It's not common. And if you'd rather use Stevia than you would to use... Now, I use honey. You know, when I want a cup of coffee, I tell the waitress, hey, you got any honey back there? So I sweeten it with honey, and it's perfectly natural and normal. You know, honey's been around for thousands of years. The problem with honey is that there's only 1/2 of 1% of the supply. If everybody in the world used honey, there would be 0.5% of what's needed to supply the world's needs. There just isn't enough honey out there. But for those of us that know about it, you know, there's plenty of honey for us. There's only a handful of us that know it and use it. Same thing is true with stevia. Now, everybody knows about aspartame, NutraSweet, Equal Spoon, Spoonful, and Benevia, etc. That's on the table in the restaurant. But when you're in the restaurant, you got to ask for honey. They don't have that out on the table. Do you ever wonder why? All right, so now there's a product here called methylcobalamin. You ever heard of methylcobalamin? It's a potential breakthrough in neurological disease. Let me give you one more here. Some of the disorders that may be preventable or treatable with methylcobalamin include chronic fatigue syndrome, Parkinson's disease, peripheral neuropathies, Alzheimer's disease, muscular dystrophy, and neurological aging. On February the 1st, 1999, Japanese scientists have identified a form of vitamin B12 that protects against neurological disease and aging by a unique mechanism that differs from current therapies. Some of the disorders that may be preventable or treatable with this natural vitamin therapy called methylcobalamin include chronic fatigue syndrome, Parkinson's disease, peripheral neuropathies, Alzheimer's disease, muscular dystrophy, and neurological aging. Notice Alzheimer's disease. Hey, listen, you people out there developing Alzheimer's disease, your bodies are full of aluminum. If you detoxify yourself and start taking vitamins and minerals, you know, you could probably do something for your Alzheimer's disease. Now listen, they've got this AZT. That's a drug. Hey, they're marketing this AZT, and for all you people with Alzheimer's disease, it's the only thing you know. But there are alternatives out there. People have been on this planet for 6,000 years, and hey, listen, you know, we've had senility for years and years. Has anybody ever thought that senility is caused by starvation? Starvation, boys and girls. And toxicity, like aluminum toxicity in your neuroconnectors, shorting them out. Huh? Ever thought about chelating that aluminum out of your body and then replacing those starving cells with cells that are packed with nutrition like vitamin B12? I know it's a wild new concept, but I thought I'd throw that out there for you. Now, vitamin B12 is a general label for a group of essential biological compounds known as cobalamins. The cobalamins are structurally related to hemoglobin in the blood, and a deficiency of vitamin B12 can cause anemia. The primary concern of conventional doctors is to maintain adequate cobalamin status to protect against anemia. The most common form of vitamin B12 is called cyanocobalamin. However, over the last 10 years, a number of central and peripheral neurological diseases have been linked to a deficiency of a very specific cobalamin. It's called the methylcobalamin, which is required to protect against neurological diseases and aging. The liver converts a small amount of cyanocobalamin into methylcobalamin within the body, but larger amounts of methylcobalamin are necessary to correct neurological defects and to protect against aging, also known as Alzheimer's disease. Published studies show that high doses of methylcobalamin are needed to regenerate neurons, as well as the myelin sheath that protects nerve axons and peripheral nerves. Hey, nutrition and poison are what's causing your symptoms. Bad nutrition and poisons, that's what's causing it. Now, the major media attempting to suppress or the expose on the deadly effects of aspartame. Now, listen to this. It's an old plot, and we've seen it many times. A gigantic corporation contaminates the community, spreading deadly toxins. People are sick. Children die. But the greedy poisoner remains undetected. At last, a persistent reporter finds the source. Now, the denials begin. Authorities side with the polluters against the people. A smokescreen of propaganda and ridicule is raised so that business and dying can continue as usual. Some mainstream media, too often dependent on advertising from these corporations, will not expose them and would never allow a bright young reporter to tell that story. Monsanto, Coca-Cola, and PepsiCo have very fat checkbooks, and so will the pride of true journalism in getting to the facts and getting those facts to the people take a back seat to exposing them to the NutraSweet issue? Well, there is the Bressler Report, the FDA audit of the horror of the original studies that approved aspartame. The FDA's own report of 1992 documented symptoms from coma to death triggered by aspartame. The damning CDC investigation and even the protest of the National Soft Drink Association, showing that Coke and Pepsi knew that aspartame breaks down into a witch's brew of toxins at 86 degrees Fahrenheit before they ever put it into their soda pop. And they also knew that it was not a diet product because it is a drug that makes you crave carbohydrates. You got that, boys and girls? Aspartame is not a diet product. Aspartame is a drug. It's an addictive drug that causes you to crave carbohydrates, which is why we now have 27% of our population obese. Are you getting the picture here? And it was misrepresented this to the public. So if you want to get fat, NutraSweet is where it's at. And I have no sympathy for the Multiple Sclerosis Society, MS Society, because they have been sent information for years, including Dr. Roberts' position paper, MS or aspartame disease. And the Multiple Sclerosis Society has never uttered a word to warn the victims. In Atlanta, Georgia, at their walkathon, while Mission Possible gave out medical documentation on aspartame's ability to mimic MS and to destroy the central nervous system, the Multiple Sclerosis Society was giving out Diet Coke. And I gave you a report the other day about a guy named Michael J. Fox, who is a mouthpiece for Pepsi-Cola. Hey, listen, these people have fat checkbooks at PepsiCo, Coca-Cola, and Monsanto. No doubt about it. And they hire people to go out and mouth their slogans to sell their product. And they ought to have a right to do that. But on the other side of the coin, you ought to have a right to know the other side. You know, on a coin, there's heads on one side and tails on the other. Well, in a controversy, there's their side and then there's our side. So this week, I thought this is the opportunity to tell you our side. So there's the report on aspartame. NutraSweet, equal, spoonful. That's bad stuff. Remember, this is shirleyswellnesscafe.com for this report. www.shirleys-wellness-cafe.com. Now, I'm about out of time. I got to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to or have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.